Professional Ethics by Juan Manuel Garcia de Alba. Chapter 3, The Person as Ethical Subject and His Dynamics. Objective, to describe the process by which the ethical personality is formed, to point out the need to choose a way of being, to create an attitude of responsibility. 3.1, The Human Person. Humans are not only beings endowed with certain abilities such as intelligence, free will, affectivity, reference to others, etc. They are beings that are called to fulfill themselves by using their abilities. In other words, the human person is not only born, he also makes himself in response to a call to fulfill his full potential in the midst of his particular circumstances and through his own history. The process of personalization consists of reaching a higher degree of consciousness, responsibility, freedom, solidarity, autonomy, capacity to love, to serve, and to build oneself. And since these qualities do not exist at birth, we can describe the human person as a subject who is called to become more and more of a person. The only authentic way to be human is by being a person. A human being's ethical condition comes from her personal being. In this way, the personal being and the ethical being are joined into what we can call the ethical personality. The human person is an ethical subject because she is conscious, free, and responsible for her actions. She is not a subject that is finished once and for all. She is undergoing a dynamic process, and thus is always unfinished and perfectible. The way of being and the way of acting form a person's irreplaceable character. Johannes Gruendel. The concept of person designates each human being in the totality and indivisibility of their bodily spiritual existence, in their relation to others, conditioned by time and space. By appropriating human values, people enhance their personal value. This means that those who do not cultivate in their own person such human values as justice, love, compassion, hard work, etc., depersonalize and dehumanize themselves, which makes them less valuable to society. The origin, the subject, and the purpose of all social institutions is and should be the human person. John Paul II, V.S. N97, Vat. G.S. 25. 3.1.1, Person and Society. The vital medium for being ethical is society. And while the ethical subject is the person, no one can be ethical in isolation. The human person does not exist separate from the community of people. In fact, the person is an ethical subject on behalf of the community. Principles, criteria, and norms of behavior are not purely individual. They are anchored in relation to others. There are, of course, aspects of personal life that do not relate directly to the social dimension. And yet everything that contributes to a person's ethical development makes her a more accomplished social being. The opposite is also true. An individual's self-destruction, in any of the dimensions of life, impacts society and disrupts the development of the community. In this way, a sort of feedback loop is in effect. What favors the person helps to build community, and the strengthening of the community, in turn, enables the human person to attain fulfillment. 3.1.2, the person and his action. Just as each person is unique and irreplaceable, so is each and every one of his actions. A person's situations, circumstances, and conditioning factors change constantly, and the same is true of his actions. Ethical actions are always human actions, personified actions, i.e., they are performed by an author who is situated in a specific place and time, and who is conditioned by her circumstances, which are her inner and outer world. People are always accompanied by their circumstances, their conditioning factors, and their relations. Action in itself does not exist. It is always the action of someone who is its main referent. It is an abstraction to speak of ethical actions without referring, at least implicitly, to the person who performs them. People gradually constitute and shape their personality over time and the course of their life. They are always the same person, on account of their personal reality, but they are not always the same, because their acts reshape them over time. 3.2. How does a human being become a person? People's being and way of being give rise to their way of acting, but this does not keep their way of acting from substantially modifying their way of being. You have the right to decide what you will be and to be what you decide. A person's actions are not only good and bad, they also make him good or bad. They fulfill him or frustrate him. A person's main responsibility, therefore, falls on him. It consists of forging his personality according to his most profound vocation. All things subject to change and to becoming never remain constant, but continually pass from one state to another, for better or worse. John Paul II, VSN 71. It is not only about choosing to be an engineer or a doctor, but also about what kind of doctor I want to be. The shape that our personality takes at any given moment implies the choice of one possibility among many. We choose some options and leave others behind. We decide our way of being on the basis of what we are and the way we act. In this way, our personality is gradually shaped and constructed, destroyed, or reconstructed. People's way of being consists not only of having a way of doing things, but of having ways that are their ways. Personality is shaped not only by what each person does, but by the degree to which the action modifies the person. In each personal action, I not only possess myself, I also make of myself what I want to be. With my action, I take on a personal way of being. I take possession of myself and make myself me through my actions. One of the inherent characteristics of a personal action is that it contributes to the constitution of the person. An option has a personal dimension, not only in the sense that it comes from a person, but also because it is constituently personal. It contributes to the way of being that I want as mine. My personality is the concrete me that emerges from all the traits that have been determined by my decisions. However, the actions taken in freedom and intelligence are not the only ones to determine my personality. Each person has acquired traits and natural traits. The natural ones are determined by the more modest vegetative and somatic processes. My genetic inheritance, physical constitution, and health condition me to act in a certain way. From these conditioning factors and from these circumstances, people construct themselves in their unity and project it into the future. 3.3 Unity and continuity of the human person. There is a risk of judging substantially unconnected actions as if the relationship of some with others and with the subject who performs them were accidental in terms of ethical assessment. It is important to stress that life must be taken as a whole, from infancy to old age. Otherwise, a person could live a series of fragments and undergo situations that leave her untouched as an ethical subject. She could act illogically, with no relationship or unity among her actions. A key feature of the ethical life consists of giving meaning and taking responsibility for life in its entirety. Each action is a link in an individual's ethical life, which channels the forces that drive her being in search of unity, consistency, freedom, and correspondence with reality. Aside from the ethical assessment of each action, there is the way the person assesses herself according to the perspective she takes on her reality in its entirety. It is not possible to analyze a person's life as simply being here and now. Not simply here, because the person is history, confronted by a decision rooted in his situation and his circumstances. Situations are accidental in the sense of particular, contingent, and unique, but they are essential because, on the one hand, circumstances belong to temporal existence, as the matrix in which the person makes his life, finds his possibilities, and determines his way of being. And on the other hand, because in each situation the subject is present in the unity of his life. And finally, because the human person must necessarily find himself in a situation, and even though it is accidental that it is this or that situation, it is essential that it be some situation. 3.4, development of personal ethical awareness. We all come into the world with no previous knowledge, with no decisions made, with no model or type of behavior. We are all project and very little reality. The world and society are things that are thrust upon us, in them and before them. We have to find our place. The culture we live in constitutes one of the determining factors in our programming. It orients us or predisposes us to react in certain ways in the face of certain situations. As we become adults, our freedom kicks in. Our ethical personality gradually frees itself from programmed responses. It stops reacting and begins to act at its own discretion. In this way, we leave off being subordinates and little by little become masters of ourselves and of our actions. The perfectly complete, fixed, true, and real ethical person does not exist in any individual, precisely because being a person implies becoming a person, i.e., it involves a process. If I am a person and an ethical person at that, this being a person entails thinking, judging, feeling, valuing, respecting, esteeming, loving, hating, fearing, desiring, hoping, believing, and committing myself. All of these actions and many more are what define my ethical personality, and undergo a continuous process of change. The ethical personality is not a set of core principles engraved in our heart, or a kind of perfectly formed statue, authentic and real, fixed and permanent. There is something permanent, the ultimate subject, but there is also something constantly developing, which is why I can say, I am different, or I can change. When we react the way others expect us to, or when we follow certain norms, our self takes its place in the world we were born in. The human person is never entirely everything that he is, because he is free and can change. At the beginning of our life, just as we were given the food we needed to survive, we were also given a set of norms and principles to help us live. They were given to us out of love, but we were also asked to comply with them as a demonstration of love. We were not asked to understand them or to accept them freely. We were asked to comply with them. Don't pick your nose, don't chew with your mouth open, say please when you ask for things, etc. These were all precepts that were imposed on us with no distinction as to their importance, value, or durability. They were simply the ways we were supposed to behave. There were also implicit or explicit penalties or punishments, but the possibility also existed of our discovering and understanding for ourselves the importance and the value of these norms in accordance with our age and our intellectual capacity. In this way, we gradually move from the self conditioned by a series of precepts and impositions to a more authentic self that understood, evaluated, questioned, and implemented these norms. We were learning to be ourselves by choice rather than by imposition. As this assimilation or internalization took place, as we learned to conduct ourselves and not be conducted by others, we became adults, and the quality of our ethical personality emerged. Social and individual programming tend to crystallize in patterns of action and reaction, in such a way that our actions and reactions can be predicted quite accurately. In the same way, moral action tends to become an attitude and a personal way of behaving. This is how we go from actions to attitudes. By acting fairly, we create attitudes characterized by fairness. By acting in a disorderly way, we create disorderly attitudes. One reaction that some people have is to reject all authorities and norms of behavior, either because they believe they can be any way they want, or because they believe that any way of acting can lead to success and happiness, which is clearly wrong. We tend to conduct ourselves the same way according to our physical or emotional needs, and we assume the same roles to perform the same activities. It is a case of reactions to certain situations that have been more or less programmed at some time in our psychological history. In order to achieve sincere communication with others and to succeed in giving of ourselves and maturing, it is extremely useful to be aware of the roles we play. If we do this, we might end up discarding them, but we might also end up making them more consciously ours. Faithfulness to options and values, and the ability to change the direction of one's life, form the foundation on which the human person grows ethically. 3.5. The concept of situation. In general terms, a situation can be understood as a concrete human way of existing. It is an anthropological notion that co-determines the person's essence. It is the concrete result of all the factors of time and place in which human freedom is inserted. It is closely related to our physical being, to our body, and everything it entails. It is being in the world. Freedom, consciousness, and responsibility are necessarily conditioned, located. Human nature is a non-existent abstraction. What exists is human beings with their capacities in a certain situation. We can distinguish between elements of situation and situational element. The former can be generalized. For example, all human beings are in the world, or are necessarily masculine or feminine. The latter are unique, absolutely individual, and personal. There are situations that highlight geophysical elements, climate, seasons, day, night, country, etc., and biopsychological elements, sex, age, health, temperament, etc., personal elements, intelligence, capacity for concentration and reflection, degree of consciousness, freedom, age, development, abnormalities, etc., cultural elements, education, environment, religion, etc., social elements, family, race, people, nation, etc., historical elements, positive and negative experiences and personal history, moral elements, sensitivity to values, way of being, conscience, etc., religious elements, sensitivity to the sublime, ability to value and admire, and everything related to the order of grace. 3.5.1. The situated person ethics can point out values, analyze their correlations, justify them, propose motivations so that people identify with them, but it cannot indicate how each person in particular is supposed to live them. In addition to ethical systems and moral proposals, each individual and each community must use their particular creativity to come up with specific applications. It is a fact, from a sociological and anthropological viewpoint, that knowledge, truth, and human nature are marked by historicity. People find themselves in unique situations that will never come up again, and that therefore demand unique responses that will never be called for again. The way of appreciating, of thinking, of being plays a role, as does the way people have acted in the past. With all of this input, people's consciences, upon careful consideration, point out to them what is good and what is not. The measure of the justice that I must carry out is not the abstract idea of justice, but rather what I discover to be just in the here and now, as a function of my possibilities to act. The particular dimension of the ethical demand is grounded in the fact that the call to do the right thing and to be more and more human is discovered in history and is expressed in each situation. The newness of history, possibilities of change and of free options, demands of people the capacity to renew their options, to widen the horizons of their values, and to find ever more creative and effective ways to do what is right. Ethics teaches that there are values that should be present in any action within any specific situation. The fact that the situation is particular and specific does not make the value any less compelling or dilute the imperative of the conscience. What it does is demand creative action that discovers how and to what extent that value will determine the action. The experience and the call of duty that each person discovers may demand more than what is strictly necessary under ordinary circumstances. Primordial values, such as life and the dignity of the person, take a back seat in certain situations, such as self-defense. This means that the primordial character of these values must be seen in the context in which the problems arise, and consideration must be given to the plurality of ends and interests, and above all, to the person, her life, and her possibilities. More important than adopting universal standards is finding a way to give form and produce order in the complexity of inner and outer life, coordinating impulses, ambitions, tendencies, and desires with the orientation to do the right thing. 3.5.2 Characteristics of the Situated Person. All people are necessarily situated, and their situation is not determined by them. Even before they freely take a stance, their situation pushes them in a certain direction. No one can do a thing independently of their objective situation. This situation is not simply something that influences their life. It is something by which their life, in its entirety, is configured to react to the circumstances. Situations are unique and never repeat themselves. In all situations, there are elements of change. The nature of a human person does persist over time, but it is a nature in history. Development is an essential part of the human person, derived from his condition as creature. The situation is an invitation, a call to the person, a demand made by binding reality, a requirement of objective reality. From the specific situation as binding reality, the sense of obligation arises. Thus, the situation becomes an objective ethical norm that at times can take preference over general norms, even divine law itself, for example, the law governing worship, fasting, and the Sabbath, both positive and negative, thou shalt not kill, swear, make graven images, etc. If a person is ill, her situation not only exempts her from discharging certain responsibilities, it also imposes others. The situated person must always be discerning, at least for the most important cases. Since the concrete person in specific circumstances can be identified with human nature, the human person's essential structure does not disappear when consideration is given to these particular circumstances. 3.6 Law and Situation. The situated person cannot simply dismiss the law or objective norms. He must integrate them. He must take them into account as compulsory norms in the specific situation, subject to the virtue of discretion or prudence. Discernment, a person's ability to distinguish one obligation from another with regard to action. The situated person must not make an arbitrary choice. Her obligation is to determine the objective norm in a particular case. An act is right or wrong depending on whether it agrees or not with the objective norms and also considers the concrete situation. Abstract and general norms are clear criteria for action that must be taken into account. The situation is not the only objective moral norm. General norms are an imperative and a duty that enter into a dialogue with the personal situation. In this dialogue, the person consults her conscience, knowledge, and freedom to determine or discover what she must do in that specific case. Objective norms, and the moral good that is sought through them, are what should go into a judgment of conscience. Conscientious and responsible people discover or recognize norms in concrete reality. The judgment of conscience does not decide by itself whether an act is wrong, but in the light of objective reality, inasmuch as it succeeds in knowing its value and accepting it freely. The human person is not just he and his circumstances, but also he and his decisions. In the face of his circumstances, he is obliged to make decisions that shape who he is. We need to look for the way to reconcile the objective demands of morality, positive laws, with subjective morality and binding reality. We assert that there are general abstract norms that have universal value because they are grounded in objective reality. We believe that the situation must not don the mantle of law, but we also believe that when the law is applied, the person's situation must be considered. These reflections are made with the intention of emphasizing that the objective norm of the conscience is not an abstract, universal norm, but a specific norm. 3.7. Situational ethics. Situational ethics states that it is not possible to determine what is morally good or bad on the basis of general, abstract norms that are valid for all cases without exception, but rather only on the basis of the situation the person is going through. And since this situation is unique for each individual, not to be repeated and impossible to generalize, general rules have no normative value. Situational ethics responds to a lived need or tendency, rather than to a perfectly elaborated system. It is almost evident that it includes compelling points of view, and that it is a reaction to an abstract, ahistorical, and depersonalized ethics. Situational ethics emerged from certain philosophical, psychological, and ethical schools of thought, and although it is not represented by any specific philosophers, its inspiration comes from existentialism. 3.8 Situational ethics is unacceptable because it does not recognize general or universal norms and assumes that people decide for themselves whether a given act is good or bad. Because it posits that the situated person is the only criterion for ethical norms and gives no weight to binding reality or natural law. Because it makes the judgment of conscience, with no points of reference, the source of ethics, and because it leaves out the human person's social dimension, making each person an isolated and ethically autonomous being. Because it does not agree with the knowledge of truth and values, and with their historical and dynamic meaning. Because it locks people into their subjectivity. Situational ethics does not contribute to the construction of the person, nor does it fulfill the purpose of ethics, which is to make people more human in their relations with others. Situational ethics instead makes people an independent center of social reality, because it does not help people to construct their personality, as it disconnects them from objective and binding reality, because it does not consider the margin of freedom that a person has even in a specific situation. While we are not free to choose what happens to us, we are free to act in one way or another in response to what happens to us. Situational ethics is unacceptable, not because it considers people in their specific situations, but because it rules out other criteria, not because it points out a principle, but because it makes it absolute. 3.9 Summary and Conclusion. Being a person and being ethical are correlative terms. The more people develop ethically, the more they develop as persons, and vice versa. People act personally and ethically when they do so consciously, freely, and responsibly, as individual subjects who make decisions in a situated, historical context and with a sense of their social dimension. There are no ethical actions without a subject who acts, which means that every action necessarily refers back to some person and his circumstances and conditioning factors, if only implicitly. People are always in a particular situation, and from there they must decide what to do and what to avoid while giving consideration to binding reality. The situation, the human and specific way of existing, co-determines people's actions. The call to do what is right and to become more and more human is discovered in history and is expressed in each situation. People have the obligation to discover the objective norm of morality in the particular case. The concrete situation, as binding reality, gives rise to the sense of obligation. General norms are an imperative and a duty that are bound up with the personal situation. Plus Christian reflection. It is true that in the Christian faith we recognize that people are fundamentally damaged by the forces of disintegration that work in them, original sin. We also believe, however, that they are called to become more and more human, which in biblical language means closer and closer to God's image and likeness, and that people are always under the influence of grace, i.e., cloaked by God's presence and action that work in them to help them overcome their shortcomings. People are under the sign of love and grace more than they are under the sign of sin and destruction. In the Christian faith, human beings' existence has always been seen as linked to God's creative action. God made people conscious, free, responsible, social, and put them in a world that they must share with others. God communicated with people to teach them and help them grow. He conveyed to them his most ardent wish, for people to live, grow, develop, and be happy. For this reason alone, he gave them the commandments. But he made them and wants them so free that they can, if they want, ignore him and reject him. God is not, in the first place, an explanation of the world's problems. He is above all a personal being who offers and gives us salvation. Acts 3:7-20. Activities. Answer the following questions individually. Looking at the past, in view of my history, and at the present moment, what kind of person have I become? What are the factors that have influenced my development? How far have I come in assimilating my own values? To what extent have I been a person shaped by others with authentic appropriation? Looking at the present, what things make me less consistent? How can I overcome them? What positive and negative impulses and tendencies are there in me? How can I develop my positive impulses? Discuss the following questions. A. What makes you a person? B. How can you develop as a person? C. Describe your way of being. D. How would you like to be? E. What kind of actions do you think shape you in the way of being that characterizes you? F. Analyze the role that different external factors have played in shaping your way of being. Which do you think have helped you the most and which have held you back? G. How do you think the Christian faith can help you in your actions and your decisions? Discuss the following examples. A. A reporter has knowledge of a crime that has been committed, and he feels the urge, out of a love for the truth, to inform the authorities. His life, however, is in danger. He has received anonymous death threats over the phone. Analyze the elements and the values at stake. Compare the results from an ethics of the situated person and from situational ethics. B. In the same way, analyze the following example. A strike is about to be called in a factory. The workers demand higher salaries. The owner offers a raise that is significantly lower than what the trade union has asked for. The only way to offer a higher raise would be to cut into profits. True or false, human actions have their own weight and must be judged separately because they are not connected. True, false. Actions are good or bad in themselves, like killing and lying, regardless of the person, the circumstances, and the consequences. True, false. Good and bad human actions do not change the person. They only demonstrate what she already is. True, false. Ethics is a demand that human growth makes on the person. True, false. In order to acquire a virtue, it is necessary to have freedom to act otherwise. True, false. An ethics that does not make us act on our own account and with sincerity should not be called human, much less Christian. True, false. There are values that should be present in any human situation. True, false. The call to do what is right and to become more and more human is discovered in a person's life and circumstances and is fulfilled in concrete ways. True, false. The human person in his particular situation is the only ethical criterion for setting norms. True, false. Bibliography, see Chapter 2 and V also. Corith Emery, ¿Qué es el hombre? Cor Herder, Barcelona 85-178. Guardini, Romano, La aceptación de sí mismo, Las edades de la vida extendí, Madrid, Fulminator. A reflective and descriptive work about the meaning and value of the different stages of life and about the conditions of a person's growth based on the experience of her own value and limits. Mundo y Persona, Edux Cristiandad, Madrid, 26. The author develops a philosophy of the person, recommended as a more in-depth study. Hirschhorn, de Piaget a Kohlberg, et Labor, Madrid, 1989. The author offers a systematic presentation of two of psychology's most important insights into the moral development of the personality. Highly recommended as in-depth reading. Heschel, Abraham J., Who is Man? Stanford University Press, California, 1965. A book of remarkable depth, written in a reflective style. At the center of his thesis, the author puts the question of meaning and the transcendent meaning of human life and actions. A Jewish vision, grounded in the biblical message and the rabbinical tradition. An inspired and profoundly religious work. Maslow, Abraham, El Potencial de la Persona Humana, 4:3, making seen it going. Maslow, one of the most prominent psychologists of the so-called humanistic school, develops some of the key ideas of his thinking in this book. Piper Joseph, Las Virtudes Fundamentales de Dodo Real, Madrid, 77. The author examines the fundamental ideas of Thomas Aquinas in a dialogue with contemporary thinkers and issues. A deep and lucid text containing important observations about the human beings as a person in relationship with others. Lip Ignace, La Nueva Moralidad Local a los Llanos en 1964. A valuable effort at updating traditional morality. La Existencia Auténtica, Carlo Lo Buenos Aires, 1976. The author, a philosopher and psychologist, offers a very clear analysis of personalist morality in a dialogue with existentialism and psychoanalysis, useful as an overview. Prohaska, Leopold, El Proceso de la Maduración del Hombre, Eder Herder, Barcelona, 1973. This book brings together discussions by different specialists in developmental psychology, useful for appreciating the dynamic nature of personality. Lonergan Bernard, Método en Teología, Sígueme, Salamanca 88. The author develops an analysis of the way in which the person becomes a subject. In this becoming, the recognition of good through intentional acts is fundamental, as well as the experience of intellectual, moral, and religious conversion. Schielebeck's Edward Dios y el Hombre, Salamanca 89. At the end of this book, the author makes a superb assessment of situational ethics, p. 329. Sobernigo José, Proyecto de Vida de Atenas, Madrid, 1990. The author proposes a set of useful criteria for creating a personal life project. The approach is interdisciplinary, psychological, anthropological, and Christian. Vidal, Marciano, La Educación Moral en la Escuela, Navarra, 1981. This work contains a set of methodological propositions designed specifically for educational practice. It offers a rigorous overview of the most recent findings about moral development from both an educational and ethical viewpoint. Very useful as educational support. Questions. What does it mean to be a person? To be endowed with certain abilities, intelligence, free will, affections, a feeling of connection to others, etc. To be called to fulfill oneself in all the dimensions of one's being, in one's circumstances and through one's own history, consciously, freely, and responsibly, and always in a dynamic, unfinished, and perfectible process. Why is a person an ethical subject? Because there are no conscious, free, and responsible actions without a subject who acts, which means that every action necessarily refers back to a person and the circumstances and conditioning factors that are inherent to her being. Being a person and being ethical are correlative terms. What does the process of personalization consist of? Of people's progress, which grows steadily more and more conscious, responsible, free, supportive, autonomous, in their overall fulfillment, in the context of their circumstances, and through their own history. How can a human being become more of a person? By appropriating, cultivating, and applying human values, justice, love, compassion, work, truth, etc. What role does society play in a person's ethical being? An extremely important role, because it is the vital medium in which a person fulfills herself. How does a person grow ethically? In his ability to reorient his life in the here and now, in order to be better and to do the right thing, in his faithfulness to his options and values. What do we mean by situation? In general terms, it is a specific and human way of existing. It is being in the world. Mention some characteristics of the situated person. The person does not determine her situation. The situation is unique and is never repeated. The situation is an invitation and demands an attitude of discernment. What does situational ethics claim? That it is impossible to determine what is morally good or bad on the basis of general abstract norms, because each situation is unique for each individual.